Mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends for life. We won't live in the past. We're making it last.
It's time for another conversation. Welcome to Making It Last podcast, where it's all about helping us to have better relationships, not just with ourselves, with other people. This time around, we're going to talk to, and I'm going to take my time with this name because I do not want to mess this name up. Ashmita Rama Madhav. Did I get it correct?
You got it
okay,
correct.
good.
Thank you.
She is a resilience and grief support advocate. She's also an author. And we're going to be talking about what steps can be taken to maintain a loving connection during times of stress. Welcome.
Thank you, Noreen.
So before we get into the conversation itself, tell us a little bit about your book.
My book. So I've written a book called What's Your Story? The purpose behind writing that book was to offer some comfort as well as different tips, tools that I have found along the way with my grief journey that I used to help myself. And I still use those tools to help myself till today. I think I'll continually be using them, and they'll be evolving as things change. You know, things are always changing. So the purpose behind the book was to offer that to humanity, to anybody who's struggling with grief, and to sort of get that message out that where our experiences do not need to control who we are and define our lives, to kind of put things into perspective. So that was the purpose for my book.
Okay. What qualifies you to write about something like that? Because you alluded to it in terms of your grief journey, just you know, what qualifies you to then speak?
I think what qualifies me is more the lived experience that I've had. I've had various different experience with loss, ranging from rejection to miscarriages, and the loss of both my parents as well as my husband. The loss of my husband was it took a long time because he had pancreatic cancer. So just watching all of that take place, everything that you need to deal with as you're dealing with being the caregiver of a loved one. And then just the whole reality hits you after the person passes away and, okay, here I am. What am I supposed to do with myself? Who am I? You know, all of these questions that are coming up for me. And that's basically what prompted this whole book and this whole new journey that I'm on.
Okay. Which is a nice segue then into what we're going to be unpacking, which is what steps can be taken to maintain a loving connection during times of stress.
So in order to, you know, during times of stress, there are two different things that I would think of. One is a loving connection with family members or your support system. But as when you're grieving, and this is speaking from my own personal experience, when you're grieving, just maintaining that loving connection with yourself is so important, because when you're grieving, you're feeling disillusioned, you're feeling alone, you're feeling like nobody around you understands you. And that it kind of, you find yourself in this crazy place where, okay, I don't feel comfortable when I go out in the same situations that I used to before I lost my loved one. And now I'm in the situation and I just feel totally awkward. I can maybe take so much of a situation and then I'm just out of place. And it's not necessarily that somebody did something or said something. Sometimes it is that, but it's just feeling of, you sort of feel like you're living in two worlds. That's how I felt. I was living in two worlds. I have this world, which is my reality. I have kids. I have things that I need to get done. That's my life. Things that I have to do in order to move forward, like just make it through the day. But at the same time, I have this grief that is limiting me in so many different ways. The way I see grief is, it's sort of your nervous system is in this fight and flight mode.
True.
And because it's in that mode, you are all over the place. Your mind doesn't want to think straight. Your energy levels are all crazy. Your sleep is all messed up. Your appetite's all messed up. And you're still trying to function normally.
how the
stressed.
no, continue.
So in those during that time, one of the most important things that I started practicing slowly, and it took some time. I first had to come to the realization and become aware of these things before I actually started implementing certain things and intentionally doing these things on a daily basis to take care of myself. So forget about even getting that, creating that open communication, looking for that empathy from others, creating that quality time that you can have with another person, or even showing appreciation towards another person. Those are things where two people can do towards each other to nurture a loving connection, right? But when you're in a grieved state, when you're in that state of grieving, that is sort of becomes secondary, because you need to first be able to do that for yourself. You feel so lost. You feel so worthless. You feel so, well, I felt worthless. I didn't know where I belonged.
The whole idea, though, that you just basically mentioned of self-care, can't it at some point be interpreted as being almost selfish, or as if it is that you're not dealing with, well, as society would probably see it, that is as if you're not dealing with it, if it is that you're putting so much attention on yourself?
You know, when you're grieving, I don't think maybe the word selfish is not the correct word to use in this specific instance. Reason being, I actually felt myself that I was being selfish at one point. So I'm with you. That's the word I used with myself as well. I'm being selfish. How could I be thinking of myself? You know, I know I've experienced this, but people around me don't understand, or people around me are not giving me the empathy that I feel I need. So I had to reframe my thinking about that and remind myself that, number one, the only person who can really understand another person who is grieving is a person who has grieved to themselves, and a similar type of grief as well. And when I reminded myself of that, things became so much easier for me, because then I stopped having those expectations of the next person, or even of family members. Family, really, they try really hard to be there for you. But they can't be there for you the way you need somebody to be there for you. So that is why I come back to self-care. You know how you need to be there for yourself, how much of attention you need to give yourself, so that you can start feeling like you're back on track again. You can start feeling like, I feel alive again. For the longest time, I felt like I was dead inside. My husband died, and I felt like I died too. You know, no life in me whatsoever, to no motivation, no gumption in me to even want to try something new or even do the things that I used to do before when he was alive. So it's been 4 years that he passed away. I still have my moments. I'm not saying that I've got this magic recipe to solve a problem, but I am saying that there is definitely a way, and there's just some realizations that once we come to that and we reframe our thinking about certain things, and we shift things and put the focus and make ourselves priority initially, just for the beginning, while you are building yourself up, because you're in a very vulnerable place also while you're grieving. So you want to make sure that you're going to take that time, you're going to be intentional, journaling, breath work, meditation,
Whatever
walk,
works for you.
whatever works for you, taking that time. But it's you. It boils down to you, starts with you, ends with you, and then you present yourself back into the world and do it to your comfort level. Hi, I'm Ashmita Rama Madhav, and I'm here with Noreen Daly on the Making It Last podcast. And we're talking about making a loving connection during times of stress. We're going to take a break with a word from our partners. We'll be right back.
You can't live your best life without a healthy immune system. Boost your immune system the delicious way with Zappi's organic juices and punches. Made from local produce with zero added sugar, our juices cleanse and revitalize your body as they boost your natural immunity. Try our delicious flavors. Beet It, Berry Bomb, Get Fresh, Ton Up, and Island Splash. Find us on Instagram at Zappies Organics or call or send a WhatsApp message at 1-877-779-8910 to order today. That's 1-877-779-8910. Zappi's Organic Juices and Punches. Live your best life today.
I recently have been coached by the great Miss Noreen Daly. I own a video company. I'm also an online influencer. So I do a lot of speaking virtually and in person. She was able to point out some of my weaknesses that I didn't yet notice. And I 100% recommend Miss Noreen Daly as your coach.
Noreen Daly, redefining the way you communicate.
Lango Language Institute was created to meet your language and communication needs. All of our packages were created just for you. We are passionate about language and dedicated to your success. We offer the CSEC English program, the Study Body program, the Get Ahead with English program, and the Business Communication program. Contact us at 767-285-0938 or email us at langdolanguage@gmail.com. Because the real question is, how can we help you?
Welcome back. I'm Ashmita Ramamadhav. Let's continue with the conversation.
Okay. So we focus on the fact that, of course, having a loving connection with yourself. What then about family and friends?
So once you've kind of, you know, come to that space, that comfortable space where you're able to be aware of how you are when you are around out there in the world, how you know, things that are coming at you, how they're affecting you and reacting to you, how you react to that, that is where, you know, just creating that open communication. So talking to your family members or your support system, whoever that person or those people are. Sometimes it's not family. Sometimes it is your best friend. It can be anybody, right? So where are you getting that support from? Keeping things authentic, keeping things, your feelings and your thoughts, talking about them and not sort of also making it. Sometimes, you know, when somebody comes to us with a situation, it's we automatically, it's just a natural thing we do. We get into that fix it mode and we want to fix things. So with grief, and I think this applies with everything, I even adopt this attitude with my kids now, is to just sit and listen. And as you're listening, to then decide whether I really do need to go into fix it mode or not. So actually actively listen to what the other person is saying. Sometimes people just need to get it off. Getting all of that pent up energy and that emotions out help to, it's a form of release.
Yeah. I noticed though that we focus a lot on grief, but what are some other stressors, so to speak? Because I think more often than not too, when people think grief, they think only in terms of death. But then once once there is loss of something or loss of relationship, or there is, you know, but what other, you know, stressors, you know, do you think could be highlighted in this conversation as well?
Well, you know, things like even things like divorce and not fitting into moving to a different country is stressful in its own, you know, trying to fit in when you move into a new country, when you move to a new country, trying to just create a new life for yourself and then finding that social circle. I noticed as we get older, when we were kids, it was so much easier to make friends. I found it really difficult to make friends, you know, moving to a new country. And my good friends that I have made over the years has been because of my children. So that is how I have made connections with people. And yes, maybe my children are not that much in touch with their friends anymore because they've grown up and moved on or whatever it is. But as parents, we created that connection and now we're friends and we're really good friends that, you know, we're there for each other. We help each other. So that's one of those things that, you know, it can be very stressful when you move to a new country. Even, as I said, like, you know, with divorce, taking care of a loved one is a stressful situation.
Yes,
with
being a caregiver, I can relate to that.
Yes. And even like with aging parents, my dad was, you know, just before he passed, just like a year or so before that, suddenly, you know, his health just suddenly started slowly going down. And I found myself frequently taking him to doctor's offices, getting frustrated because we're not getting answers and all of that kind of stuff. And that in its own added a level of stress into my life because it was extra stuff to whatever it is that I was dealing with.
If you've said a lot, but if it is that somebody's still cynical and saying it's easy for you to say because of where you are, you probably have a strong sense of self, you probably have a strong, you know, support system, whether family or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your advice to somebody who's saying this, all of this is a lot to digest? What is the one thing you'd say, you know, if you get nothing else from all that has been said, here's the one idea I want you, or the one step I want you to take to then maintain a loving connection during times of stress? What would that step be?
I would say that, you know, well, maybe I would break it up into two things, but one is I say that my experiences are not me. And I remind myself of that every time I find myself in any situation that where I am feeling uncomfortable or something has happened and I find myself reacting to the experience. So I remind myself, this is something I have experienced. This is not me. How am I going to relate to this is what I would ask myself. So I do a lot of self-talk. It's not, as I said earlier, I don't have all of the answers. It's something I've been doing over the years. It's become a habit now in my mind where I continually do that, keeping that positive, and I'm always trying to find that positivity in any situation, no matter how bleak it is. There has to be something positive I can draw from it to help myself. Because at the end of the day, our lives are the way I, you know, life is a gift. And what we make of it is in our hands. We do have quite a bit of control over what we can make out of that life. Watching my husband die kind of reinforced that even more for me, how precious and how fragile life can be. So gratitude, the second thing I was going to say is that's the other thing I do is, yes, no, it's not, I may seem strong and whatever it is, but there's a lot of background work that takes place on a daily basis as things are happening for me to keep myself on track. And gratitude is one of the other things that has been magical for me. It has helped me so much.
Excellent note to end on. Thank you for sharing, Ashmita.
Yep.
This was Making It Last podcast, where it's all about helping us to have better relationships, not just with ourselves, but other people. I'm Noreen Daly. Until next time.
Mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends for life. We won't live in the past. We're making it last.